Okay. So we're going to be hearing next from Dr. Mary Krieger from the University of California at San Francisco. Dr. Krieger has been working in youth development for the past 15 years, and she works on in developing resilient youth and communities. And today she's going to be talking to us about operationalizing resilience and life course planning in expectant and parenting adolescents in California. Dr. Krieger?
Thank you, Nicole. And thank all of you for being here, and thank you to my fellow panelists, because you will see themes from different research that will reappear in this presentation. I also need to admit to you that I have a terrible cold and sore throat. So if my voice fails, please raise your hand. I don't want for my voice to fall down where you can't hear what's going on. Okay, no financial interests. These are our community groups that are scattered throughout California, and all of these agencies, all of these teen pregnancy prevention workers and sites have been integrally involved in this. It would not have been possible to do it without them. We are funded by the California Department of Public Health and the Office of Adolescent Health within DHHS. And we at the University of California have the evaluation contract, although the team functions very much as a seamless unit between the program and the evaluation. There is constant feedback. Okay, what the Positive Youth Development Program does is it has something called the Adolescent Family Life Program, which provides intensive case management to expectant and parenting adolescents. It's a voluntary program, and the majority of the clients are in Medicaid, Medi-Cal in California, and somehow my picture blocked out the bottom part, which also means that clients from most of the families are below the 200% of the federal poverty level. Okay, there are approximately 7,000 clients that have been served since 2012, and so I'm going to present you with a lot of information because this is a pretty complex intervention. You should feel free to contact me afterwards, and of course, there are questions. So as I go through this, I'm not going to read slides to you because you can do that faster. Your brain works faster than my voice, definitely. But I am going to pick out highlights. So the ethnicity within the program pretty much mirrors California's population. We are, as you know, we are about to become a majority-minority state. We have significant numbers of Latinos. We also have significant numbers of various Asian populations, as well as other groups. So, and most of the youth in the program are female. We do have males, and we're working on getting more males into the program. Okay, positive youth development is a counterpoint to deficiency-based models. So we're looking at strengths, we're looking at how to take those strengths, apply them to goals, and have youth figure out where they want to go with their life, related to their families, related to schools, related to careers, and obviously, in all of those areas related to contraception and how they want to plan their families. So, program priorities are these four things which are very closely interwoven across the topics and the tools. Okay. Our role as evaluators was to describe how the intervention is being implemented and figure out what the facilitating and impeding factors were. We used mixed methods. We did everything we could think of to get to both staff and to get to the youth. Okay, these are tools that are part of the intervention, and believe it or not, this is a partial listing of the tools. There is a lot of information. Key factors here relate to the youth identifying strengths. When youth come out of this part, this activity, they look at their case manager and say, "Who knew? I had no idea. I have strengths. Curiosity is a strength. Who knew? Being persistent, stubborn, perhaps, that can be a strength. Who knew? I didn't think a whole lot about this program until I got to this activity, and now I see what you guys are doing. This is really important to me." So you will see that theme come up over and over. We also tried the Royal We, try to tie strengths to values and look at values in terms of behavior, employing cognitive dissonance. Oh, you believe in healthy eating? And you eat 3 bags of Cheetos a day? Let's talk about that. Through all of these other tools that help students and youth walk through these things piece by piece by piece and step by step. So, okay, as we go through this, as I mentioned earlier, there's very much a continuous quality loop. We're constantly providing feedback to program staff. They provide feedback to us in evaluation, and this rolls along. Okay, general findings. The sites overwhelmingly valued this approach. They completely understood the difference between looking at things from this positive approach, this affirmative approach, and building upon the client's strengths. In general, the tools worked with both our English-speaking and also our Spanish-speaking clients. I'll talk about some cultural issues we faced as we go along. We also found that there was significant variation as the sites implemented this. This is complex. We're trying to shift the paradigm from crisis management or the problem in the youth's life to thinking about their strengths and how they can turn that crisis perhaps into an opportunity. So it's tricky. We have incredibly talented case managers. Some of them have been doing this work for 15 years, and they absolutely have bought into the program. But changing practice is complex, and it requires a lot of reinforcement. So, 90% of the, for example, this is an example of the importance of probing. 90% of the case managers reported that they were very comfortable speaking with female Latinas about contraception and family planning. But when we also probed, we found that 60% of them wanted more information. And the reason I point out this specific population is because as my colleagues pointed out, sometimes there is a little more concern about having these conversations within Latino communities, and sometimes there is concern about how you, since children are valued so much, how you speak about contraception or planning children within your life. Okay, contraceptive use and empowerment. 63% of the case managers reported wanting additional training on how to discuss condom use with male clients. And also, they reported wanting to discuss the ways in which male clients support their partner's use of contraception. We had this fascinating focus group with young men who said, "Oh, you wouldn't believe how tight I am with my partner and how carefully we plan all of these things. And, you know, we know that we really enjoy each other beyond sex, but also with sex. We really like each other. We give each other pleasure. And then as we probed more and more, they said, huh, and what exactly is my partner using for birth control all of the time? and it was great because they were stating it, and then they were reflecting and saying, oh, I guess I have some more work to do here. So it was one of those great moments. Many of our clients report that this program has helped them develop healthy relationships. Through this program, they have learned how to set boundaries and how to communicate better. We also had a theme that came up where many of our clients said they wanted to be able to speak better and with more information, both with their partners and also with their parents. So now, many of our clients are also living at home. So that is one other theme that runs through this. Okay, this is a situation where, again, there's pretty much uniform buy-in to the program, but at the same time, this survey was done last spring, and you still see that the staff need more reaffirmation, more instruction, more technical assistance about how to use the program and the tools when clients are in a crisis, definitely for mental health issues, and also about how to help clients establish boundaries. I mean, I think it's a situation where some of our training just kicks in automatically. Oh my gosh, where are you going to sleep tonight? Let me pick up the phone and call the housing authority. Instead of, how have you coped with things in the past? How can I help you facilitate figuring out where you're going to sleep tonight? Obviously, one of those takes more energy than the other one. And again, this is nothing against the staff. People have bought into this, but you also see a crisis, and many of us have that how can I help you response. So this is a paradigm shift, and we need to realize how much reinforcement, how much ongoing dialogue it takes for all of us to make certain we're approaching these things correctly. This is one of the comments from a client who said, you know, this is really helpful. I now know what I'm doing. I know where I'm going, essentially. Before the program, I would not be able to talk to anyone about domestic violence and healthy relationships. Now I can. The great thing about the case managers, they don't judge you. I can tell them anything. We have some challenges. We have undocumented clients that we face all of the issues that many of you face in this program. We also encounter some situations where there are program emphasis and priorities that conflict with family expectations and responsibilities. We had a grandmother who wanted to feed soup to a three-month-old, and the client was very concerned about how she was going to do that and how she was going to say no to her grandmother. So issues like that persist. Recommendations excuse me, include building upon the existing trainings. Many of those have happened actually within the last 6 weeks in the program. But is not a part of this research. Stressing that the materials can be used for all clients. All clients, regardless of if they are on the slower end of learning, regardless of if they're in crisis, regardless of if they're a high achiever. These tools work. It's just we as the professionals have to adjust how we are tackling the issues with the clients. We also are developing a uniform intake process so that across sites there is a much more uniform prioritization of who is included in the program and who is eligible, because that was one of the other variations. As I said, we're working hard to include both males and females. So the takeaways. These tools go a really, really long way in helping clients address the many issues and prioritize their issues related to life planning and related to family and contraception. It is complex. It is more complex than we even realized, having previously worked with this population. So I'm happy, as I said, I'm happy to talk with you afterwards and, of course, answer any questions. There is a federal evaluation, which is going to be partially a randomized controlled trial that is in the process of being planned, that will look at some of the new sites that will be involved in this work. And these are my incredible colleagues who, beyond the communities, these are the state and UCSF folks who have worked with us on this, and I'm grateful to all of them. My contact information.